All right, cool.
Do
hey,
it.
What's up? This is do it now. We'll stop talking. Hey, what's up? This is Jason Wisdom, and you're listening to my next chapter of As the Story Grows.
What would you say you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
I want you to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Man, being realistic.
As the story grows.
You got this, Travis. Make him wait for it. Boom.
Why don't I start?
Huh?
The simplest way to put it, I have problems. I worry about diseases, so I have trouble touching things. In public places, it's almost impossible. I have a real big problem moving.
Talk about moving.
As long as I'm in my apartment, I'm okay. But when I want to go out, I get weird.
Talk about weird.
Talk about weird. Well, I get dizzy spells, nausea, cold sweats, hot sweats, fever blisters, difficulty breathing, difficulty swallowing, blurred vision, involuntary trembling, dead hands, numb lips, fingernail sensitivity, pelvic discomfort.
So the real question is, what is the crisis?
Contacts today so that I can wear them on tour and look like a cool rock guy
and look cool. Get a load of this. I was just told for the first time in my life, I've been wearing corrective lenses since I was six. The eye doctor said basically your left eye has corrected itself. It's practically 20/20. Your right eye is jacked. You can get away with one contact lens. And I was like, what? He said, just put one contact lens in. If you get glasses, the prescription in the left lens will be practically nothing. But you can get away with one contact. I was like, okay. So he cut my contact bill in half because I only have to order for my right eye. So
that's,
I was like,
awesome.
I'm getting glasses and contact singular. So
yeah.
Weird.
Well, my eyes are very bad. So
yeah. All right, so let's get rolling.
Cool.
How you doing? Everything all right?
Yeah. It's going good. I'm actually at the YMCA right now. So my kids can hang out in the little playroom and I can do this while my wife is not mad at me sitting, you know, because if I just go home from a day of work and then I'm like, hey, I'm going to go be on the phone for an hour.
Got it.
She'd be like, yeah, that's not going to happen. So I was like, okay, I'll take the kids to the YMCA so they can play and I can be on the phone.
That's why I built a drum studio that locks from the inside. All I have to do is get in this room and lock the barrel bolt, and then they're on the outside just like, ah! I'm like, I don't care. I'm recording somebody right now.
Awesome.
All right, then. What's up, J-Rock?
Yo, man. What's up?
How you been?
I've been good, man. Just surviving.
Surviving?
Yep.
Do you work for Rock Your Face Off anymore?
I do not work
for RIFO.
No.
What are you doing now?
Well, I figured that wasn't cool enough, so I became a substitute teacher, substitute public school teacher, because that's a much more metal profession to have.
Substitute teachers are way cool.
Yeah, every kid dreams of growing up one day to be a sub. But yeah, so I'm substitute teaching now, looking for a full-time job of some sort.
I can't fathom. Have you ever been recognized?
No.
have you ever had a, oh my God, that's Jason from.
No, but I have had kids like Google my name. Like if I told them I used to play in a band or I play music, they'll Google Jason Wisdom, and some of them have been like, oh, and then they listen to it, because I don't know if you know this, but in, you know, kids nowadays in school pretty much always have their phones out. Right. That's just how it is. So, Yeah. And so then a few of them be like, oh, I know that band. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well,
really?
Never take me seriously now. Yep. Because if they Google my name, I think like the first picture that comes up is like me with fire shooting out of my mouth a picture of a lion's body with my face on it that says I am a beast. You know, it's just one wonderful internet things.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's what happened when I started. When I became a teacher for the first time a few years back, I tried to keep it kind of secret from the students. Like, I didn't tell anybody, and it.
I remember you mentioning that in the last one. You said when the Solomores album hit, you were kind of like, "Yeah, I'm going to keep this under wraps."
Yeah, but the kids found out pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Those kids.
So, there you go.
Those kids and their internets.
Yep.
Hold on a second.
The Googles.
They know how to work the Googles. So you're a substitute teacher. What subject? Whatever.
Yeah, man, that's the wildlife of a sub. I can do whatever I want, man. I'm just living on the edge. I can be a PE teacher one day, throwing dodgeballs at elementary school kids, and I can be a science teacher the next day.
Yeah.
Brewing up some kind of crazy concoction in the chemistry lab. So, no, they don't let me play with stuff like that. They just give me worksheets to hand the kids and babysit them.
That's because they saw the inside of the one BTA album where you were all dressed like lab scientists.
Yeah.
And they were like, we can't give this clown any beakers or anything. He's going to blow something up.
I'm very suspicious every time I apply for a job that the reason they don't call me back is because they Google my name and it's like some picture of my severed head with like wires coming out of my neck or something like that from one of the BTA albums. Cursed past of mine.
That's
so I decided the best thing to do would just be to start a new band
and good move.
Just good go move. With that.
Yeah. And I think, if you're really worried about, your occupations, you should probably, call the band something tongue in cheek, like Death Therapy.
Yeah. Something like
probably a really good move.
Something that sounds really awful to your average like person who's in working in HR.
So you called me after the Solomores thing. You called me many moons ago and you said, I'm pretty heavily influenced by Devin Townsend. And I think the album's called Key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you said, I'm thinking about doing something just bass. And I was like, whoa, all right, go for it. And the Solomores thing was kind of a departure where you just started singing and you did everything down to like the low cave troll voice all the way up to the Jason Wisdom that we all know and love with the screaming and everything. And now you've really taken it on, the entire thing on, and then you're kind of a one man with assistance from a drummer band. I wanted to catch back up with you because Death Therapy is a thing and it's playing out live and you've got some things to talk about, some announcements and everything. So
yeah, it's a thing. Actually, we're going to be up in your neck of the woods in a week.
I know, but you're playing on a Tuesday, man. I'll try. I'll do my best.
You're old.
I am. Well,
come on, man. Dadcore. Hashtag dadcore.
Hashtag dadcore is in bed by 9:15.
Yeah. I've got my hashtag in bed.
Yeah.
But, we're going out on the road with Project 86, supporting them, which is pretty cool.
Heard of them?
Yeah. They've been around for a few years. I think this is their 20th anniversary tour.
Wow. And, oh my God. Everybody's turning 20 like now.
Yep. Crazy. Cool. So yeah, we're doing that and excited about that. Going to hit a bunch of states and this is kind of our first real like tour. We've played some shows away from home and stuff, but this is our first time out on the road for a long time. So, you know.
So who's we? It's just you and a drummer on stage.
Well, right? Yeah, me and drummer, and then the most important member of our band, the iPad. our backing tracks. it's really kind of like an experimental, I guess I would call it like an industrial groove metal kind of band. I just wanted to write some groovy bass riffs and put some like some funky kind of groovy drums to them and see what happened. And then I've got a buddy who's like just a wizard with the keyboard and programming stuff who it just all kind of came together. It's actually it's one of those things. You and I were talking before this about or we talked in the other episode, I think, about the album with Devin Townsend.
Mm-hmm.
In the last episode we did. And like that record to me, I can look back and listen to that record. And like, I'm as big a fan of that record as anybody is, because it's almost like it was a totally otherworldly experience tracking that album, to where when it's over, I look back and I'm like, did I do that? Did I really do that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this album was in that category where it was like, I was just like, okay, cool. I'm just going to start laying down some bass riffs and see what happens. And then brought a drummer in who's not used to playing metal at all. And I was like, hey man, what would you play here? And he was like, cool. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. And then, you know, threw the tracks over to my friend who does programming and, not like a death metal, heavy metal guy. And he was like, well, does this sound cool? And I was like, yeah. And then went in the studio and put it all together. And it was like, wow, did we just do this? Now it's a thing. Like, so, right. So yeah, it's really exciting.
So let's hats off to the guys involved. Who's the drummer and the program guy?
Yeah. I've had a couple drummers at this point, depending on where we're playing.
On the album, I mean. On the album, is there a live drummer, or is it all programmed?
It's all programmed. I know, man.
You're the only organic matter on that album.
Yep, it was me and Matt McClellan, who is an awesome producer down here at Glow in the Dark Studios. For people who are recording nerds, they'll know Matt Goldman. Matt McClellan does some awesome stuff. Yep, it was he and I sitting in the studio and knocking out the whole record. So,
wow,
a lot of pressure on me at that point, and no guitars involved. So bass guitar, and I think it turned out pretty heavy.
Nothing but bass.
Yeah, nothing but bass, man. Bass and a pedal board.
In the midst of death therapy hitting, the Melvins came out with an album called Bases Loaded, where it's all just bass guitars.
Awesome.
And I thought, that would have been perfect. I thought you're the first person I thought of. Next album should be called Bases Loaded. Now you're going to get yelled at. Oh, well.
Call the album Big Bottom, Spinal Tap.
Yeah, man.
Just cover that.
Talk about mud flaps. My girl's got them.
Good Lord. But yeah.
You brought it up. You're embarrassed that I know the lyrics. Everybody knows Spinal Tap. Come on.
Hey, man, I substitute teach with high schoolers and stuff who've never even heard of that.
Isn't that? Oh, my God. You're making me feel old.
Yeah.
I know.
Yep. Anything older than like yesterday, they haven't heard of.
Yeah. It's really, they're really skittish when it comes to what they're.
So that's why I'm trying to keep death therapy on the, like, I'm trying to not let death therapy be released until it's just like the most hipster thing ever. Mm. Everyone's like, man, have you heard of death therapy? It's like, well, no, it's not really even a thing.
Right.
And then we'll release it.
Cool.
Cool.
I'm so glad you're doing my podcast to talk about death therapy, and now you don't want anybody to know about it. That's perfect. And then when we did Solomores, you went and hid because you didn't want anybody to know.
Yeah, I was scared what people would.
Yeah. Why the hell do I talk to you?
Eventually I have to get a real life and like make money and stuff other than doing stupid music.
Speaking of money, how is a one man band touring opening for Project 86 going to work? Like, I mean, I don't know how much you make, but I mean, like, this has to be a dichotomy.
You can put a little drum fill in there.
I have a
perfect, you have a drum studio, you can track it.
Yeah, I don't even have to track it. I just rip it off YouTube. I have a perfect Fred Armisen, but I'm and I will drop it right here. There it is. Awesome. So what is it like to do the one man? I mean, you have a drummer with you,
right?
But you hired a live drummer to play. But I mean, death therapy, all the decisions that are made are you. And right. It completely floats on you. That's got to be very different from becoming even something like Solomors, where we never left our houses. Really, still there was a band. There was emails and compromises. This is all you.
Yeah, it's very playing live, especially, is very different, because with BTA, I was I had the freedom, I should say, to sort of take liberty with some of the bass parts if the vocal parts needed to have precedent. So I could sort of say, well, let's just, let's make this bass part pretty simple here, because I'm going to be doing a lot of vocal stuff. Or if we're playing it out live, I could be like, well, you know, maybe during this part, I'll just hold an open note because I got to do this vocal thing that's really important. Or else there were times with BTA where I'd actually like literally go sit my bass down and like go over, like there was during the last one of the tours we did, like I picked Daniel up on my shoulders and like carry him around while he's playing a guitar solo. And it's like nobody ever noticed that nobody cared. Like, the bass isn't there. Or we're playing in like, you know, drops C or something. I mean, it's already low. And but with this band, it's like if I stop playing or if I simplify the riff, everything changes.
Everything like, stops.
There is nothing else going on. It's like there's the drummer and then there's the backing tracks that we play with. Mm-hmm. But the backing tracks are not like loaded with sub drops and, you know, bass synthesizers. The backing tracks are more like MIDI. You've heard some of the tracks. They're more like MIDI kind of stuff, like a Nintendo kind of sounds and 8-bit stuff. And so it's if I stop playing or if I change the riff, everyone's going to notice. So it's a lot of pressure to kind of carry the whole thing and have to do all the vocals.
So how did you hook up? How did you, I mean, I know you can always pull off like a local show to where you live. You're still down in Georgia. And, I know you ran out and you played with Living Sacrifice. You played
Little Rock and then Tulsa.
Yeah. But I mean, this was setting up a tour. How did you trip into that?
BTA played with Project 86 lots of times back in the day at festivals and things like that. And, sort of been in touch with Andrew, who's the singer for Project 86, a little bit. And I had actually approached him about doing a guest vocal spot on our record. And come to find out, by the way, that he, in 20 years of Project 86, has never done a guest vocal spot. So I was honored that he said yes. So there you go. There's a news nugget for people. There's going to be an Andrew Schwab guest vocal spot on the Death Therapy record.
Exclusive. I have to do exclusive.
We have to get more sound effects to put in. But and so then as we talked about that, it was like they're going to do this tour, and they needed a support band for out. They did one leg of the tour already. It was on the West Coast, and there's just no way we could make that because we'd have to fly out, rent a car, all this other kind of stuff. And but they're coming over here, going to Philly and Washington D.C. and Ohio and. You know, those places. And I was like, we can do that. That's, that's not bad. So cool. Yep.
So how do you tour with two guys? Do you need a van or are you just climbing like a Honda Civic?
Well, there's an 8x10 bass cab and there's a 4x12 guitar cab. And then there's a giant merchandise tub. So the Honda Civic's not going to happen. There's also a drum set. Alex Kinnis would be proud that I have a 1999 Suburban. No one else will get that joke except for you, but for everyone listening, Travis is laughing right now. He understands.
I laugh at everyone cause I try to make my guests feel comfortable and that they're actually funny, but yeah, you've missed everyone with that joke.
It's okay. But yeah, a 99 Suburban that we'll be traveling in. So, pulling a little small trailer behind us and yeah, I think it'll work out. The exciting thing about having just two guys is that the band drama is really minimal, especially because the drummer is somebody that I'm hiring to come play with me. Like, he doesn't have to like the set list that I came up with. If he doesn't like it, he doesn't care. Like, you know what I mean? If I say, hey, we're going to wear black shirts on stage, he doesn't have to go, well, that's lame, man. I want to wear a red tank top. If Seth Cox is listening to this, he'll be the only one that gets that joke. But anyway, yeah, I mean, those arguments don't exist, which is great. So at this point in my musical career, I really don't have time for that. So
That's awesome.
Keep it simple. We just go out, play the shows. It's fun. And stay at RIFO host homes, which is, I'm glad that I at least was familiar with RIFO, you know?
Why don't you reiterate what that means to those maybe people that haven't heard the first one?
Yeah, RIFO, RYFO.org, as in Rock Your Face Off. RIFO.org is a nonprofit group that like has homes where bands can stay all around the country. People who open up their doors for bands to come in, wash clothes, get showers, you know, a bed to sleep in for the night. And at this point in my musical journey, there's really no way I could afford, especially with this. And this is a brand new band. Nobody knows who Death Therapy is. We don't really exist yet. I can't afford hotel rooms. You know, if we break even on this tour, it'll be a huge victory. You know, that sounds like one of those, the hard times articles. the band only lost $1,000 and they considered it a huge victory. But yeah, totally.
But it is nowadays. I mean, week in and week out, I'm talking to people that are like, dragging their asses all the way up and down and all over the world sometimes. And they come home and they're like, I think I have like $600 in my name, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's going to have to go a little bit better than that, or my wife will probably never let me go out on tour again.
Yeah, probably.
But, we'll see how that goes.
So are we allowed to talk about, the thing that we talked about before? Is that out yet?
No, it's not out yet, but we can talk about it here. Sure.
Okay. Cause this will be up on Sunday. So
that's fine.
Is that okay?
You'll be the first person to know.
Let them have it.
Cool. Tell them. Yeah. So, the Death Therapy record is going to be out on Solid State Records, which I'm excited about because that's kind of like, feels like kind of like going home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where we got we played at Cornerstone Festival back in like, 2003, 2004, and got discovered by Solid State, and that's where BTA got our start. And so for me to be able to go back and do a record there, that's awesome. So I think that's going to be February of 2017. And hopefully not long after this podcast, there'll be some singles coming out and things like that, so people can hear the album.
I'm gonna drop some little nuggets here and there. Whatever you say, I can play. I'll play a little clips of it.
Yeah, I'm sure you can put some clippies in there. So you heard it. What do you think of it? I'm interviewing you now.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's a great.
I don't know who the hell you think you are. Just take it over like some sort of substitute teacher. Just walk in here and do what you want. But
that's what I do.
You sent me the stuff. I listened to it. You've sent me some stuff along the way. You sent me Lie.
Right.
And another one, I don't remember the name, but you sent me another one. And I can't remember the name of it. And then you sent me some stuff today. So I listened to it once. And
yep, you're on the spot now.
I said, I am on the spot. I'll answer you. I ain't afraid of you. I texted you back and said, this is really interesting. This is a total departure. Like, I'm not used to hearing you involved in something like this. I guess I'll put it this way. I'm not into this type of music, but I like this because I know the story behind it. It's all bass. It's programmed. It's Jason doing his, you know, the Solomors thing was like really fun to watch you experiment with your vocals and sing for the first time. You've taken this even a step further with your vocals and everything. And honestly, I'm not into the industrial groove stuff, but I dig this record. This is really good. And the one song in particular that grabbed me was Slow Dance. Dude, that is so thick. That is peanut butter thick. I really like the way that felt.
Yeah.
You're doing something very, you're not pioneering anything. This band's out here doing stuff like this.
No.
But I don't think I've ever heard anything like this before.
Cool, man.
I'm digging on it.
That's because it's not 1998 anymore.
That's true.
That was when we were in the studio recording the record, there was this 20-something-year-old kid who would walk in the room and heard that song that you're talking about, Slow Dance with Death. And he goes, man, this song sounds like straight out of 1998, man. That's pretty awesome. And I was like, well, that's because 1998 was when my musical taste stopped evolving.
Right.
that's yeah. pretty much when I peaked in 1998. It's like, cool, everything after that is, you know, gravy. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. And I will say, everybody I've sent the tracks to hear them, like, it's been for me sort of like a nervous and exciting feeling at the same time, letting people hear it, because it is so different from what I've right. done. Like, I'm nervous people are going to hear it and go, what is this? This sucks. And I'm, you know, but at the same time, I'm really proud of it. And I'm thinking,
yeah, do you know why?
That fans of heavy stuff that's fun will just listen to it and go, you know, I don't like this necessarily, but it's a lot of fun to listen to.
Right.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at is like,
do you know why? Because we come from the metal side of things, and metal is like, impress me, bro. You have to do that. The guys in the back with one foot right. up on the wall and their arms crossed. How are we going to make it more brutal and sound as heavy as possible? How are we going to make it sound more choppy and polyrhythmic like Meshuggah? How are we going to make it sound right. spazzy and crazy like Dillinger? We've done it already, you know?
Right.
And not me, but I mean like what bridges have we not crossed yet with this kind of stuff? You've taken it back to like, yeah, this almost like early induction of industrial 1998 kind of I don't want to say ministry. It reminds me more of like, it kind of had like a Circle of Dust meets Prong sort of vibe to it, you know, which I mean, Prong, Prove You Wrong is one of my favorite records ever. Still, I love that album. And I think it's got groove, but not danceability. I don't picture this as like dancey kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. But, we played a show recently with a pretty popular, I guess, you know, industrial band right now called Combi Christ.
Oh, okay. I've heard of them.
Played with them here in Atlanta. And I think you're wrong, man. People were dancing like crazy. They had lots of glow sticks.
Yeah.
Well, lots of body paint. Lots of, they did, but I'm just giving you a hard time. But, but it was, it's totally a different, just to sort of twist it a little bit for an interesting part of the conversation, it's totally a different crowd.
Yeah.
Then look what you're talking about. You're talking about, we come from the, like the metal side of things where the dudes are standing there with their arms folded in the back of the room going, okay, let's see how you can shred. Let's see how fast you can play. Let's see, you know, what weird time signature you can pull off now.
Right.
And I'm going, we're going with this stuff and playing for people who just want to hear music. Like, they're just like, oh, cool. This is cool. I like this. And they don't even, they literally, and it's not that they're less intelligent people. It's just, they haven't, I don't know what the term I'm looking for. I don't want to say it's that they haven't become jaded, because that seems like a slam on metalheads, but like,
I'll say it. They haven't become jaded.
I definitely went through a time like that in my life where I was just like, you know, if it's not Dream Theater, it's not impressing me. If it's not Dillinger Escape Plan, it's not chaotic enough. If it's not, you know what I mean? Like, if it's, yeah. I need something to blow my mind out my ears, or I don't want to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And then here I am. I was like, you know what? Anybody who knows me, I mean, Duck would get this joke. So I'm just dropping all the inside jokes for like one person. He'll never listen to this.
Nice. Good. Isolate like, everyone and make no one feel comfortable. Good move.
The worst thing about me when I lose a cell phone or my cell phone breaks is that I lose like 900 song ideas that I've saved into my cell phone.
Okay.
So anyone who's ever made music with me knows that I drive around like in my car, like making chugga-chugga noises into my phone for like riff ideas. Well, Death Therapy was the perfect idea or perfect way to make use of that. It's like, you know what? This can literally just be the song. It can just be this riff and we'll put a groovy beat. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. Why?
Sure.
Why do I have to have, because I thought about that. I'm like, what if I got a guitar player on this song? Man, I could do some cool things here. And it's like, nah, I don't need to do that. Let's just make it groovy and heavy and fun. So
I like the rules. I think restrictions bring out some of your best, some of the best stuff. Like there's chalk on the field in a football game for a reason. The guy can't run over behind the bench and behind the mascot in the water. And you know what I mean? Like,
oh man, is this one of those like sports shows?
No, it's not. I had football in the mind, mm-hmm. but I like
the restrictions. How about the Eagles, man?
Pennsylvania, baby. But but the restrictions. If I mean, I'm just giving you a chance. You want to interrupt me a third time, or can I finish my thought?
Go ahead. Your turn now.
All right. the restrictions is kind of like, I'm doing this by myself. I'm only going to do bass. I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm not going to try to impress the metal crowd. Metal's going to come out of you because it's in your blood. But I like the parameters that you kind of gave it. Like there are no guitars on this album. Yeah, you could have put a guitar in there and it wouldn't have been like, boo, he did it wrong, he sold out. But you just decided, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do all bass. I'm going to try this. I like that story. I think it's interesting that, I mean, Death Therapy is one guy pushing his idea out to sea there and going, I hope this thing floats. You know what I mean? It isn't a group of guys. At least you can climb back in the van and be like, boy, that show sucked. Ha ha ha. And you can all high five each other and move on to the next one.
Yeah.
This is you and a dude you hired. Like, if it didn't go well, he's going to be like, well, that's on you, dude.
Yeah. So for instance, when we played at Audio Feed Festival in Illinois this summer.
Okay.
We had a couple sets at the festival, and one of them, the first one, we got up on stage, was a good little crowd in the tent. It was like, okay, here we go. We're, you know, festival gig. We're ready. You know, kind of like coming back to my roots. Cause this is the festival that more or less has kind of succeeded Cornerstone. It's come after Cornerstone up right in the Chicago area. Mm-hmm. And, get on stage and my gear just won't work. We're in the middle of the first song and like the bass keeps cutting out and it's just not working. We can't figure out what it is. We're unplugging the amplifier. We're messing with this. We're trying to do this. We're messing with my pedal board. What's going on? What is wrong? Can't figure it out. And literally it's the kind of stuff that I've had nightmares about. It just couldn't get the gear to work. So I ended up just telling funny stories about BTA on the road. And I think actually I told that was the story I told the last time we talked.
About the van and the troopers?
Yeah. Yep. So if anybody wants to hear that story, then go back and listen to that podcast.
To this day, I think you are my 100th published episode between Black Vinyl Collective and all the other little stuff that I put out and everything. I don't think anybody topped that story yet.
Awesome. Well, I don't know that I'll ever top it, but anyway, so I'm telling that story. And then basically all I could say at the end of that was, hey, we've got merchandise. If you really like bands that don't play music, you know, please go buy some of our stuff. Oh, well, we don't have any CDs for sale because we don't exist yet, but we got cool looking t-shirts. you know what I mean? And it's just, and so, yeah, you're right. Like I had to think like, man, this is all on me. My drummer's, what an awkward experience for him. He's just sitting there kind of like, okay. Like, you know, the good news for him though, is at the end he gets to go home and it doesn't matter. Like,
right. You know?
But it turned out to be, just for anyone who's curious, it turned out to be actually the volume knob on my bass had gone bad. So the one thing we didn't check, we didn't check the bass.
Oh, I see. All right. Mm-hmm.
So it was my bass.
So you're playing the bass through a bass cabinet and a guitar cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And your drum.
Yeah. I use,
yeah, explain it. Let's just shorten it. Explain your setup, because I'm really curious. Like, one of the main sounds of Death Therapy is coming down to an iPad. Like, if you forget to charge that iPad, or if you drop it and break the jack, you're kind of screwed, right?
Right. Well, and see, here's the thing. I mean, with BTA, when we did that record with Devin Townsend in particular, there's so much going on. Devin is a genius at making layers. That it was like, okay, how are we gonna play this stuff? Are we gonna use backing tracks? And BTA, we were always just like purists about it. We were like, no, if we can't play it live, like organically, then we just can't do it. Right. So one of the sort of, I don't know, beautiful things about for me at least, with this was sort of getting over that fear and embracing like, hey, you know, it doesn't have to be like, I don't have to have 10 guys up on stage, all each pushing this button. You know what I mean? I can do all of the main organic stuff, but we can still have that backing track that makes it sound fuller. So the backing track is a big part of what we do, but the biggest part of what we do, the biggest sound of what Death Therapy is, comes down to my pedal board, which is, I have two chains running off of my pedal board, And the first chain goes through a bass EQ and then goes into a bass like Sans Amp type pedal, and that goes to a power amp, which runs my 810 bass cap. So there's a bass sound coming out. And then I bypass my tuner and go into a guitar sound, which goes through a POG, which is an octave pedal, to take it up the octave. Then it goes into a Proco Rat. This is for all the gear geeks. A Proco Rat distortion pedal into an EQ, and then that goes to the guitar cab. So what's coming out of the speakers sounds sort of like a guitar player. It's not really. I mean, you heard the, even on the record, it didn't really sound like a guitar player, but it sounds like a really heavy bass that's kind of got some higher pitch frequencies in it. You know, it's just like a big giant bass guitar is what it sounds like. But I have the controls on my pedal board to where I can mute one sound or the other, so I can make it sound like a guitar, or I can make it sound like a bass if I want to. But that requires a lot of thought, and I'm already doing vocals and bass and everything else, so we'll see.
Is your drummer triggering anything electronically, or is it just an acoustic kit?
Well, we'll find that out when we start touring, won't we?
You don't know yet?
We're rehearsing this week, man. Come on, we'll figure it out. He does have a Roland pad, you know, that we could do lots of triggering kind of stuff. But you know, I'm actually pretty partial to keeping, like you said, keeping some parameters on it. I actually think it'd be cool to like live to still keep it with an organic kit. I think it would give it a unique sound live. Because I don't know about you, but like, and maybe some of the people listening, but like, I actually like it sometimes when I see a band that the songs sound a little bit different live, but in a cool way. Like, you know what I mean? Like I see it live and it's like, man, yeah, that's cool. That doesn't sound exactly like what they did on the record, but it's cool. I like seeing the drummer, you know, play that part that way. Whereas on the record, it may be just like this programmed thing, but then live, it's like he's playing this thing with these fills and you're like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thoughts on it, but
keep it organic and kind
organic ish as organic as a two-man techno industrial groove metal What About Bob themed band can be.
I love that.
Yeah, well, it's because you're older than 30, so you know that movie.
I didn't even have to get the prompt as to what it came from. As soon as I heard the band was called Death Therapy, I started giggling. I knew what you were referring to.
I have neon blue turquoise t-shirts that say in bright yellow letters, "Don't hassle me, I listen to Death Therapy." And
that's awesome.
I've sold about three of them, all to guys who were like 40 and older, who are like, "I know that movie."
And the back should say, "Don't touch my sister," in all caps.
Yeah.
No, nothing. No one. Okay. All right. If you haven't seen that movie, it just sounded dirty, but it'll be funny if you knew the movie.
Yes. Yes. Is this corn hand shucked? It's a great movie.
It's a fantastic movie. All right. So let's, how are we doing on time? You good?
Yeah. I got a few minutes.
All right. Why don't you pick a song or two and tell us a little bit lyrically in the directions you're going? I know you're a heady guy. You're a theological guy. You have the becauseitstrue.com. You went to school for biblical theology and everything.
I did have becauseitstrue.com. I haven't, since my daughter was born, I really haven't had time.
Kids ruin everything, right?
For that, I know. Kids, man.
Well, right. So tell us a little bit about what Death Therapy is trying to say.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of... There's a lot of the record deals with a lot of really heavy, difficult struggle type issues. And deals with them honestly. I would actually, if I were to put any sort of biblical parallel for the spiritual content, I would say it's sort of like the Psalms in the Bible where David is really struggling and often screaming at God or, angry. Not that I'm, you know, angry at God, or, but there are songs on this record that I wrote that really express like things I've struggled with, doubts I've had, times where it feels like God's not there, times where it feels like life is just falling apart. The song that you were mentioning earlier, Slow Dance with Death. I mean, the main lyric of the song is, I'm tired of just surviving slow dancing with death every day of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's really a song about struggling with depression and feeling like, you know, life is just kind of drudgery. And these are just all things that have been, you know, struggles in my life. But there's not without hope, on the record. I wouldn't say, but I do think there's some stuff that's pretty heavy that people who are expecting like a really like bright and shiny, like, you know, preachy kind of Christian album would be surprised and disappointed. It's not going to be that. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. I don't know how else to say it, but
no, that was fine.
I'll put it this way, and this will sound weird to some people, but some people will totally get this. Coming from the background that I came from, playing with BTA, okay, it's been, 6 years ago now since I left that band. Well, in the meantime, I went and became a teacher, went to Bible college, all these kinds of things. Well, one of the most obvious questions you get asked by people when you have the background I have and then you go into that world is, well, why heavy metal? Why has it got to be screaming? Why does it need to be so loud and angry sounding and all this kind of stuff? That's what they all ask, you know, or they, well, is that really Christian? I mean, I even get emails like that from people, teenagers sometimes, who are like, my mom doesn't understand. Okay. Well, here's the thing. The stuff I'm talking about on this Death Therapy record is not the kind of stuff you can talk about in like a three chord worship song for church. You know what I mean? Like you don't talk about that stuff. I doubt very seriously. Like I say, when David wrote those Psalms in the Bible where he's confused and he's struggling, feels like God's not there. I doubt very seriously if he was just playing, you know, soft, sweet harp music the whole time. Sure. You know what I mean? Sure. I imagine him probably bashing his harp against the wall and, you know, shaking his fist at the sky and being, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think there's a place for it. I mean, artistically, obviously there's a place for it, but I'm even saying as a person who is a believer, like who is a Christian, who like this is part of my life, I don't feel like I need to be afraid to say, you know, this is what's going on. Like sometimes life sucks and sometimes I need to sing about it. And sometimes I feel like they're, you know, God's not there. He doesn't care. And some people will take that in a really bad, they'll think that's really dark and awful of me to say, but I would challenge those people to realize that burying those thoughts and burying those emotions and those feelings is not healthy.
I could not agree more. That's my biggest problem with worship music. I'm not trying to take down the church or anything, but right. I mean, dude, seriously, if you're driving around 24 hours a day listening to nothing but
cotton candy,
we come rainbow before farts. Right, exactly. We come before you in your banquet table and la la la, happy, happy, happy. You're masking, you're mudding over what's really going on. There's too many shitty things that happen in people's lives on a regular basis that, yeah, you're supposed to get frustrated and throw something once in a while. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. I just think there's this weird Christian thing of like, don't let anybody see your real side. That's not what we thrive on. We thrive on coming across as happy and everything going well and smiling. And yeah, this heavy metal thing doesn't fit. Why are you all screaming? You all sound so angry. It's like, no, we're frustrated about stuff. And as someone of my age who looks back and hears that there's still people emailing saying that kind of stuff, it just makes me roll my eyes because I feel like, really?
Well, yeah. Well, and the funny thing about it is like I didn't get into metal, heavy metal music, because I was angry or because I was frustrated or had angst. I got into heavy metal music because of the musicianship.
Right.
But I do think I think there is a very valuable artistic platform to say things that can't get said otherwise. And I think music really is a prophetic type of platform. It's a place to say the things that other people won't say. So if I'm, if I'm saying things that other people in the church or other Christians or whatever won't say, I don't view that as like a, oh, well, you know, I'm cutting edge or anything like that. I just look at it as like, hey, maybe somebody needs to be challenged in that way. I mean, that's what I can do. And if I feel like if the art isn't challenging us in some way, it's probably just a product more than it is art. You know what I mean? It's just mass produced. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So I'm even, you know, even if somebody might listen to this and consider it more marketable or less edgy or technical than what BTA used to do, you know, in coming from my perspective, it's sort of the thing I've done that's challenged me the most. Like I had to say, okay, this is on me. The decisions are on me here. It's like, is this kick drum pattern going to sound like this or is it not? Well, I don't play drums, you know, like, but I'm going to make this decision. And, you know what I mean? And that's a challenge. And then really opening myself up with the lyrics and just saying, you know what, with BTA, everything was very thematic. There were lots of concept album type things going on.
Right.
This one was much more like stream of consciousness. Like, I'm laying in bed one night and it's just been a really bad day. And the lyric comes to me, I'm tired of just surviving, you know? And then I'm like, you know what? Hey, that's, you know, I roll over and type it into my phone and I'm like, okay, that's going to be a song. And then the next day, you know, it's, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yes, I do.
And to me, that's, it's a refreshingly sort of pure and uncalculated way to approach it that I'm proud of in a way. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Exercising some demons, to borrow the phrase, right?
Yep.
All right. What else we got? What else is going on?
Oh, man. The Cubs are in the World Series.
The world is upside down. The Cubs and the Indians.
Biff Tannen is running for president, and the Cubs are in the World Series. What is this, Back to the Future 2?
I think it might be. I think it might be.
So.
This has been a weird year.
Yeah. But yeah, man. I'm going to have to get you out on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, good luck. you might have to drive up here and wake me up.
Nah. I won't do that.
Who's your drummer? Who's your drummer going out in the store?
His name is Josh C. Graves.
Okay.
He's a great drummer, and we can have lots of fun. I could tell you lots of funny stories about, you know, like I said earlier, I intentionally wanted a drummer for this project that's not a heavy metal drummer. Because I wanted a unique take to what the drums should do. There's like two parts on the record that have double kick pedal. The rest is, he's not going to bring a double kick pedal with him on tour. Like, it's just not that kind of band.
Okay.
But that comes with certain things, which is like, you know, when I take him to play at like these shady little venues in like downtown Atlanta, and you know, they're playing like the Devil's Rejects uncut version up on a giant movie screen next to us while we're playing. And there's like these awful sex scenes and stuff going on. He's just like, where have you brought me? What is going on? And of course I'm sitting there going, dude, I mean, I've seen much worse. And like, then they have, you know, in all the years of playing heavy metal stuff, or walking into the Masquerade in Atlanta, which people who are from here would know what I'm talking about. Like, and this, the smell of like urine and alcohol and cigarette smoke, and he's just like, oh man, this place just reeks. But I walk in there and it reminds me of like 1,000 places I've played around the country. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's like, wow, man, this is, you know, so it's just one of those things where, it's great having a drummer who doesn't have all of that baggage, but it also makes for some funny stories, every now and then, where he's like, I can't remember what it was the other day he said, but I can't remember that story, so you have to cut that part. But whatever it was, it was something like, I was like, oh, well, you know, it was something like, we're going to be, I don't know where we're going to stay this one night. We may end up in some kind of shady like parking lot or something. He goes, well, man, that's like the only places you take me with this band. So I guess it's like shady, weird little shady places. And I'm like, just don't tell my wife. Honey, we're staying in really nice hotels and
plush.
Everyone's safe. And
plush church basements.
Yeah.
With a electric fence around the outside. Everything is safe. Where did you, where'd you find Josh?
He actually plays drums at the church with me. So,
oh, okay.
All right. Yep. He's awesome. He's a great drummer. And if you get to come out on a Tuesday night, you'll get to find that out.
I really want to. It's on my agenda. I was originally supposed to have off next week.
I'll give you a tom and a set of drumsticks, and you come up on stage and just start wailing.
Oh, okay. Now I have a gig.
Some maracas. Yeah, if you have a gig, you'll come out.
Maybe.
Until you get dad, hashtag dadcore off the couch.
Depends on
the gig.
Depends on how many free slices of pizza I get.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for, just to reiterate, the album's coming out. We're aiming for February. It's going to be on Solid State. Yeah. This is going up as the tour is going on. And playing out with Project 86. Check it out. Where can people go to check out Death Therapy?
Yeah. Just find us on social media is probably the best way. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, those kinds of things. And then, we have demo songs that are out there via YouTube and stuff, but they're just demo songs compared to the quality of the record. But if you're a purist and you want to hear our metal or hear our black metal side where the quality is really low and you can be like, I only like their old stuff, then go check out the demos before the album comes out. I still get emails from people sometimes who are asking me, this is the last story I'll tell you. They'll email and say, do you have, because if you go look on Wikipedia, it says Becoming the Archetype did an album called the Death, Destruction, and Mayhem EP. Okay, look, this was like a CD that we burned the day before a show and like sharpied on to the CD Death, Destruction, and Mayhem because we thought it was funny. You know, like it's over the top, like Death, Destruction, and Mayhem, you know, metal band. And there's like demo songs before we were even really anything. And I still get emails from people like, hey man, where can I pick up a copy of that? So I guess there are purists out there who really want to hear the demo stuff. Are you one of those people who likes Zao's All Else Failed more than Splinter Shards, Travis?
Is that
a question you don't?
No. Nah, not really. I'm not in that particular case, no. But overall, I'm not the one that has to have that hissy cassette that they recorded in the basement when they were kids and everything. Whatever. It's all going to come out on a B-side album later anyway when they can't fulfill their contract.
Oh, so man.
I'll just wait till later.
I talked to a guy the other day, and I was talking about just records that I loved from 98-ish because we were having similar conversation. And I said, man, that embodiment, Embrace the Eternal record, oh, man, what a great record.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, meh. They slowed everything down on that one. And
he's
like, their old demo stuff. It was so much faster.
The three-song EP, so much faster.
So much faster and grindier and more metal. I couldn't get into that record. It's so lame. And I'm like, from my perspective, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like that, man, whatever. There's more good riffs. There's more good riffs in one song on that record than in most bands' whole album.
Yeah, man. Andy's a riff genius.
He's a beast.
Riff salad.
So,
I was going to say, I'll top your Becoming the Archetype story. I have a copy of the very first song that you guys wrote for, The Physics of Fire when you guys came to demo for Solid State at my house while we were out on tour. Alex said, can we swing by and borrow your studio? I was like, go ahead. I don't even know how to record everything yet. So I have a one-time recording that you guys did of that track. What's the name of the first song of the album? You remember? Something about a mountain?
No, that's not the first song. The first song is Epic of War, I think.
That sounds right. So I have
the one that starts with a harpsichord. Yep.
Right. So I have that. I have the very, 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 very first time you guys ever recorded that because it was at my old house.
Awesome. Well,
and Duck showed up sick. Remember, he had the flu, and he went and crawled upstairs in my mother-in-law's afghan and slept on our couch for 6 hours. Went downstairs, recorded, went back upstairs and slept again.
I'm pretty sure Duck was always sick when we were on tour.
Nice to meet you. I hope you don't die in my living room. The number
Duck was always sick. Those are the worst parts about being a band on the road, is when stuff like that happens, because a lot of times that's the only impression that person, or you, at least you got to know Duck other than that. But a lot of times right. We go, you know, I can remember one time we opened a show with Living Sacrifice. It was like the first time I'd ever got to meet Living Sacrifice. And they rolled in. It was like 15 minutes before the show was supposed to start. And this guy had this cobbled together stage that looked super wonky. And all the guys in Living Sacrifice probably had just like been in had a horrible day on the road. And I could just remember as like an 18-year-old kid or whatever, getting to open for Living Sacrifice, just being like, these guys are jerks. Man, you're so grumpy. They don't want to play on the stage. Like, what's wrong with them? These guys are just so mean. Of course, I got to know them later. And of course, I also now know, that's normal. Like you roll, you know what I mean? Like you roll into the show, you've had like five flat tires. Right. And it's just like, what are we going to do? And but sadly, when you're a band on the road, you have lots of opportunities to rub people the wrong way and make a bad first impression.
You certainly do.
So, but yeah, cool.
You and Josh be safe. I will do my best to come down there. If I don't take it the wrong way, but, I'm make my way down there if I can.
Cool.
But everybody, I'll include links to social media stuff and everything, so you can check out where Jason and where Death Therapy and Project 86 are going to be.
Yep.
And Jay, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, when you
the next chapter.
When you do your other band. When you do another band.
Yeah, after this, when I decide to do a band with like 80 people, just like the most people in a band.
Oh, that would be crazy.
The polyphonic death metal spree.
Polyphonic death therapy.
Cool, man.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist.
Bob, it's a guaranteed cure.
Wow!
As the story grows.
We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.